So, let's go back to these necessary optimality conditions. Okay, I promise this semester I won't make many proofs, okay? Just a couple, and this is one of them. Okay? And actually, I want to show you the following thing. The idea of the proof is exactly the same that we had when we did the proof for the unconstrained case. Except that for that case we arrived to this conclusion. Okay? In this case we will have to stop earlier, okay? And come into this other conclusion. Okay? The idea of the proof is always the same. We know that we are at minimum point, so we try, we can exploit the definition. Okay? We know the following. We know that f at x bar is less or equal than f at x for all x which belong to the feasible region and to a suitable ball of center x bar in radius epsilon for some suitable epsilon. Okay. If we are close enough to x bar, then the value at x bar is less or equal than the value at the other point. Okay. Now, let's take direction in the tangent column. Okay. And let's show this inequality. So, let's take d, which belongs to the tangent column. Definition, there exist these two sequences here, okay? So, we have that we have some sequence dk that goes to zero, we have some sequence of direction dk which goes to d, and x bar plus pk dk belongs to capital X. Okay. Now, let's consider this point here. And let's take the lead. This is a sequence. Okay, this is what's called an SK. Okay. Dk goes to zero and dk goes to some direction d. So this term goes to d times 0 goes to 0. So all of this is going to x bar. Okay? Since it's going to x bar, if k is large enough, this point will belong to this ball. Okay? The point is converging to x bar. So, sooner or later, it will be inside this ball. Forever. Okay? So, we also have that x bar plus tk dk belongs to the ball of center x bar and radius epsilon whenever k is large enough. So, it's a feasible point. It belongs to this ball. So, we are here. So, f at this point must be greater or equal than f at x bar. So, the difference between the two is greater or equal than 0. Okay? F at x bar is less or equal than f at this point because it's feasible and it belongs to the ball. Now the proof is almost done because we have the usual stuff. the function at the point minus the function at x bar. So we can use Taylor's formula. Taylor's formula tells us that this difference is the gradient of f at this point times this vector minus this vector, which means tk, the difference of the two vectors is tk dk, so tk is the number goes here, dk, plus the residual. The residual which depends on the difference, so it depends on the difference. Okay? And this quantity is greater or equal than 0. So we can divide by tk. This goes away, and here you have tk. And this is always greater or equal than 0 because tk is positive. If you want, you can write this thing this way. Okay? In such a way that this is the residual at this point divided the norm of the point. Okay? We know that if we take the limit as k goes to 0, the residual dividing its norm goes to k. The residual divided by the norm of the point goes to 0. So this goes to 0. This goes to the norm of d. So all of this goes to 0. And what does this goes to? Tk is no longer here. This is fixed, and dk goes to d. So all of this goes to the scalar product of f at x bar with d. Okay? And for each k, this quantity is greater or equal than 0, so the limit must be greater or equal than 0 too. And the limit is exactly this quantity here. There is this condition here. Okay? You see? From here onwards, it's exactly the same proof that we had in the Ampelstein case. We stopped earlier because in the Ampelstein case we have that this was greater or equal than 0, and then we had to make some consideration on the fact that this was, that d was arbitrary. While now d is constrained to be in the tangential. So I showed you this proof just to tell you. Don't worry, this is once again Taylor's formula. Okay? You prove this by Taylor's formula, exactly like you did in the unconstrained case. Okay? Same idea. If you check the proof we run in the first semester, it's exactly the same scheme. Okay? So what we need to remember is Taylor's formula provides us this. Okay? The tricky part, the one which is different from the unconstrained case, is the beginning. It's the beginning where we need the tangent cone to find the kind of point. Okay. In the unconstrained case, the tangent cone is the full space. So we don't have anything to deal with here. It's natural. It happens naturally. Okay. Well, here in the beginning we have to face this situation. Okay. But then, after we face this situation, essentially, through this definition, it's just the same stuff. Even easier because we stopped earlier. Okay? Okay, is it clear? Taylor. Once again, Taylor. Okay? The thing you should remember is that when dealing with optimality conditions, the basic tool is Taylor's formula, okay. Which indeed gives you a first or a second order approximation of the difference of the function between two points, And this is exactly what we are trying to study when we study optimality. Okay. I also want to give you a geometric view of this condition here. Okay? This condition sounds silly, but it can also be written as minus the gradient of f at x bar times d less or equal than 0 for each t in the tangent bar. Okay. Why did I just switch the sign? Why? Because we know that minus the gradient is the steepest descent direction for f. Okay? So let's suppose we have the physical region here. I'm always using this quarter of the circle. Okay? And let's take x bar here. And let's suppose minus the gradient at x bar is done this way. Minus the gradient of f at x bar. Okay? The second point for which set of W that this is less or equal than zero is this half space here. Okay? All the vectors which have a negative scalar product with the gradient. So, let's say it's this half space here, okay? This condition is telling you that the tangent cone is contained into this half space here, okay? So, necessary optimality condition is that the tangent cone, which in this case is this one, has to be contained into this half space here. Okay? So, if for instance the gradient is this one, minus the gradient is this one, or no, this is too much, sorry. Let's say minus the gradient is this one. Okay. The half space is this one. So the tangent cone is not included into that half space. And so, if the gradient is done this way, minus x bar cannot be a local minimum point. Okay? So, if you want, this condition can be seen as the inclusion of the tangent cone into a half space. Okay? The half space is addressed by minus the gradient. Is the one orthogonal to minus the gradient, and the tangent cone has to be there. If not, we cannot be at the minimum. Is this geometric view clear? Okay. Minus the gradient tells you where the function is going down. Okay. And to be at a local minimum point, it cannot be down for some directions in the in the time to come. In the time to come. Clearly, this is nice, but you cannot perform it on a computer, or you cannot perform it in high dimensions. Okay, you just can have a look at it as for simple examples in R2, or if you are a clever drawer in R3. Okay, because you need to draw half spaces, or in this case, half planes and tangent cones. So this is actually what we are going to use, okay? But we are going to use this one with an additional assumption, okay? Which makes it much more easier to treat, okay? And the assumption is that capital X is convex, okay? This optimality condition is very nice to view, okay? Gives you a nice formula, a nice interpretation in terms of the stand, approximation of direction along which you can move, or set and half spaces, and so on, but as an intrinsic difficulty, okay? If you want to check it somehow, and is the computation of the tangent form, okay? We have a nice mathematical formulation, nice definition, okay? We know what it means, okay? The tangent of all curves inside the region approaching the point, but then how do we compute directions here, okay? So to check this optimality condition, I should first know the tangent form, okay? And then test it along every direction in the tangent cone, okay? Which are uncountably many. I mean, gradient equals zero, you just have to check if a vector is the zero vector. You can perform it, okay? This is tough to perform, okay? But if capital X is convex, we can do something more. Okay. We can write this in another way, which is a bit nicer, okay? And we can exploit it better, okay? Because to know the tangent cone, you need to know capital X, but that is not enough, okay? You have to suppose you know you have a procedure that tells you if a point is in capital X or not, okay? That's good. But it's not enough to know the tangent cone. You have to do some additional computation, which are mathematically nice, but computationally very challenging. Okay? Probably too challenging to perform them numerically. So the convex case, what comes nice in the convex case is that actually convex regions, let's erase the proof, have some nice properties that we can exploit. Let's keep using the same capital X, okay? Which, by the way, is a convex set, okay? Convex means that whenever I take a point in the region, the whole segment between this point and the X bar at which I want to test optimality is inside the region. Okay? So, rather than moving along squares, I could simply think of moving along lines. Okay? So, suppose you have a sequence of points done this way. If I'm considering the bullet at the tangent point, I'm taking a linear procedure. Okay? If I consider them separately, I can do it at least in the convex case. Because the whole segment is inside the region. Well, if the region is not convex, it might do something like this and some point can get out. Okay? So there's another cone known as cone of feasible directions. Okay? The cone of feasible direction it is the set of all directions B in Rn such that there exists some positive tau for which x bar plus t times t belongs to capital X for all t between 0 and tau. Okay. A direction is feasible if moving away or approaching, in the other sense, x bar along that direction keeps feasibility whenever the step is small enough. Okay. Rather than moving along all possible curves, that is what I'm doing here, I just move along centers. Okay. And in the convex case, this tells you that if I'm considering a feasible sequence, okay, all the segments done this way are all made of feasible points, of just feasible points. And so I could test optimality along all these lines. First remark is pretty simple. The cone of feasible direction is a subset of the tangent cone. Why? Well, this is pretty simple because you have this property, so it is enough to take, if you take a direction with this point, you take the sequence decay to be made just by D, constant sequence, and then you can take any sequence decay such that, let's say, t1 is smaller than tau, and you have that property there, okay? I mean, this is moving along all possible curves. This is moving along segments, okay? So it's clearly a subset. Oh, this could be pretty small, okay? Just give me an example we had before. Suppose you take the two parabolas with the same vertex here, and the area in between the two parabolas, that's capital S. We discovered earlier that the tangent cone is the horizontal line. And what about the cone of feasible direction? Well, the cone of feasible direction, unfortunately, let's try to zoom a little bit. This is going this way, and this is going this way. Let's zoom it a bit more. Hopla. Okay. Whenever you take a point here, there's no way. Here the tangent is horizontal. When you take this segment, you will get outside the region. Okay? So the only possibility is for choosing a direction here is to choose zero. Okay? So in this case here, there is no feasible direction other than the trivial one. Okay? The uninteresting one, zero. Okay? So here the tangent cone has some interest, it's a line. The cone of feasible direction is uninteresting. It's just the point zero. Okay? This set is a non-contact set. Okay? This bad behavior cannot happen for convex sets. Okay, so can happen, but not for convex sets. Indeed, what you have is the following. Okay, now let's make another example first. This one, okay? Let's try to, in this example, to compute the cone of feasible directions. Okay? It means that we are moving along lines. So this is good. This is good. This clearly is not good. So this is good. All these are good. This is good. This is good. What about the horizontal one? The horizontal one is not good, but any other of them is good. So the cone of feasible direction is the constant except the horizontal half line. Okay? Why? The tangent cone was the whole order, including the horizontal half line. Indeed, what you can prove in my notes for people who like the mathematics of this stuff, there's the proof. And the proof is telling the following. If x is convex, then the tangent cone is the closure of the cone of feasible directions. Okay? So, the difference between the tangent cone and the cone of feasible direction lies just potentially on lines on the border, on border lines. This means F and O obviously. This, roughly speaking, says is this tangent cone plus all the limits of the points in the cone. There is something more. I can give you an explicit description of the cone of feasible directions in terms of capital X. And I can state it very easily. So let capital X be convex. And let's take an x bar in capital X. First property, x minus x bar is a feasible direction for capital X at x bar for any x which belongs to capital X. Okay? I don't prove it because the picture tells you the proof. Okay? X bar, x, the direction is this one. Okay? The whole segment belongs to capital X, which means take tau equal 1. Because this is the convex combination between x bar and d, which is x minus x bar. Okay? So it's just the definition of convexity. But the most important property is the other one. If I have a feasible direction, then the feasible direction is somehow done this way. Then there exists x in capital X and a positive tau such that the direction is, let's say, t times x minus x bar. Okay, greater or equal than... no, okay, it can be done. If you put them together, on the proof of this second part is obvious. Okay, because the proof is taken. D has got that property. Okay. X plus D times D belongs to capital X. It means that it is equal to some X for capital X. Okay. Then D is equal to X minus X bar divided by D. Okay. Rename 1 over t as t, and you have got this. So the proof is an algebra. It's just a manipulation of this algebraic equation here. But I'm not interested in the proof. I'm interested in what the two together tells you. The two together tells you that if x is convex, then the physical, the cone of feasible direction is none of this, is none of the cones of the kind x minus x bar for all x in capital X and all their multiples. Okay? That is what we did by intuition when we draw. This is x bar, this is x, so all of this is in the cone of feasible direction. Then I take another point here and I do the same. Okay? And what we did just a few minutes ago was to fill all the important except the horizontal line. Okay? And what is nice here, that this description is given in terms of capital X. I told you, maybe we can have a procedure to decide if X belongs to capital X. While it's not that easy to extend this to the tangent cone, okay? Even if I have that. But in the convex case, the cone of visible direction can be described by capital S. And the difference between the tangent cone and the cone of visible direction is not much. Okay? It's just in the it's just on the border event. And the border does not affect this condition. And I will show you in a minute. Okay? I mean, if capital X is convex, here we can replace this by the closure of the cone of visible directions. But then if I forget about the closure, the condition is equivalent, because if an inequality greater or equal than zero is true everywhere in a set, then it is true also for the boundary points of the set, for the frontier, okay? If it's true everywhere, it is also true on the border, okay? Because you cannot go from greater or equal than zero to minus. So let me just restate now the theorem, adding the assumption that that capital X is convex. So, now suppose capital X is convex, and let X bar in capital X be a local minimum point. Then we have the scalar product of the gradient of f at x bar with each direction b, which belongs to the cone of physical direction, is greater or equal than zero. Okay? This is true in general because we have this triple I condition, which is always true, okay. But actually, here I should put the closure. It will be equivalent. I take it away, and it doesn't change. But the thing that I'm interested most is this one. Rather than writing D belongs to the feasible set, I can write it the expression for this point. T times X minus X bar. So I can replace this. Okay, let me write it. Okay, I don't want this. I want to put T times X minus X bar and X bar, now X belongs to capital X, and T is greater or equal than, and T is greater than zero. So I have rewritten it in an equivalent form. Now, is T meaningful? No, T is not meaningful because it's greater than zero. Okay, so I can divide it by T, and it doesn't change, so I don't need it. Look, this looks much nicer. The tangent cone has disappeared. Okay? We need to check this condition for all feasible points. So to check this one is enough to have a procedure that tells me which are the feasible points. Okay. It's a much nicer course. Let's say price to pay is to have convexity. And the nice thing is here is that, okay, we have convexity in capital X. If we also have convexity for the function, we are in convex optimization, local and global minima are the same. And exactly like in the unconstrained case, this condition becomes also sufficient. Okay? So, vice versa. Always supposing that capital X is convex, if also F is convex, then if also F is convex and let's say this condition holds, then F bar is I was writing local, but since we have convexity, local doesn't mind anymore, is a minimum point of so this is the case in which the feasible region is convex. A local minimum point must satisfy this condition for every x in the feasible region. We forget about tangent points. Vice versa, if this condition holds and also f is convex, then the point is a minimum point. The condition becomes necessary and sufficient. Exactly like it was in the unconstrained case. And if you check the proof, the proof is exactly the same that you had in the unconstrained case, because it is enough a member of the blackboard to make the proof. Because the proof, okay, F is convex, we know this about these properties of complex functions. This is a property that is always true for complex functions which are differentiable. Okay. Now, let's take F in capital X. This is true by assumption. So, this is greater or equal than 0. So, this is greater or equal than F at X bar whenever F is in capital X. Okay? Because we have this by assumption in the sufficient part. Okay? And it is exactly the same proof that you had in the unconstrained case. In the unconstrained case, you have the gradient is 0. Here you have this quantity is greater or equal than 0. Okay? So now we have something which is nice. Minimizing a function over a convex set, we have a pretty good looking for optimality condition, which depends just on the function and on the set, with no other tools involved. And if the problem is convex, meaning that not only the real feasible region, but also the objective function is convex, then this condition becomes necessary and sufficient. Okay. Tomorrow, Thursday, and I think also Monday, we will see algorithms which are based on this optimality condition here. Okay. So the underlying assumption will be capital X is convex.
Okay.
And we don't mind about any description of capital X.
We just have capital X as a convex set. And we can develop algorithm. So I will show you algorithm. We will run some simulations on the computer. And
okay, you could ask me, okay, we just spent 2 hours doing all this stuff with an abstract tangent cone and so on to end up here. Okay? Why didn't you just prove this to us? Okay? And indeed, the proof of this is not different from the one we did. Okay? It's even a bit easier. So why did you give us this stuff? Okay? Because this stuff is not useful now. This stuff will be useful when we will describe capital X through in algebraic inequalities or end equalities. We will start from here, okay? And we will eliminate the tangent cone, exploiting the functions which describe the feasible region capital X, okay? So now you can take it in your notebook, in your notes, keep it apart, and then we will take it back in a few weeks' time. Well, we will go on from here tomorrow morning. Okay?